Begin the current daf, Maseches Nida daf Chav Beis. Begin 8 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the related question from the previous daf, and that is we have been discussing regarding the laws of Nida, and one of the questions we had was regarding if a woman sees dam b'shveferes, through a tube. And the question was, because the wording of the Pasuk says b'bisara, in her flesh, does that mean to say it has to come through directly her flesh, and if it's coming through a tube, that's going to be chatzitza? Or did we say, no, b'bisara means to say that even when it's in her basar, when it's in the vaginal canal, in the praises, before it comes out, then she's going to be tamei, but it doesn't have to come through her flesh, it could even go through a tube. Similarly, the Gemara asks a similar question regarding a male. Boyimene rabba merapuna. Says Haraya Keri Bekisim, if someone sticks a reed into the opening of the male member, and that's how he removes this seed. So therefore, that's Keri, that's a tumma that comes when the man has this emission of semen. Mo, what's the halacha going to be? And what's the question? Similarly, like we said in the previous daf. On the one hand, Mimenu Amrachman, the Torah says, Ashatitzi Mimenu Shechvezera, that will come out from him an emission of seed. So it's saying mimenu, from him, means adenafeg mibisari v'loy bekisim, until it comes out from his flesh in the normal way, from him, and not if it's coming through a reed. Aydama, hi mimenu, maybe no, this that it says from him means achetetze tumasa l'chutz, means it has to come out from him. It has to come out, but in contrast, like we said regarding the woman, that the need, it's even when it's inside of her. Here it's coming to say it's only when it comes out of him. But even if it comes out through a tube, even through a reed, that he would become tummy. That was the question. So Malay, they said to him, my answer is even before your question. Typically, it should be sufficient to answer your question. The man himself, in general, if the semen comes out, the seed comes out even without a reed, the halacha of becoming tamei of keri is only until it comes out from him the amount that is bechasimas pia ama, the amount of semen that could seal off the opening of the male member. That's how much seed there has to be. Now here, the way Rashi explains it, since he inserted the reed into the opening of the male member, that takes up space of being the measurement of being covering the opening of the male member, because the reed's taking up that place. So that itself is going to answer your question. Anyway, he's not going to become tummy because it's not having the shear of the seed coming out because of the reed that's taking up that space. But on that, the Gemara asks, Lamem, is that to say from the fact that the way Rav Hun is answering the question that, oh, there is a measurement over here and therefore your question doesn't even start? But the inference of that is that obviously the tumah of keri is not because of what's called a quote a re'iyah, an emission. Rather, it must be because the male member is dinegeyahava. It's touching the semen that's coming out of the male member. And that's why Rav Hun is saying that it needs to have a certain measurement, which he says enough to seal off the opening of the male member. Like all the tumas of magois, of touching, which needs to have a certain measurement. For example, if someone's coming betumi from a sheretz or an avelo or a mace, then that's he becomes tumi by touching. There we say in all those different contexts, certain measurements that it has to be to become tumi. No, and the same thing is obviously over here regarding keri shechvazera, because if it was considered a quote a re'iyah, by tumas that are re'iyah that have just a sighting, an emission, that actually doesn't require a certain measurement, because by the halachas of nida, a woman is tummy because of a re'iyah, she doesn't need a measurement. Even that of a mustard seed or a matic, whatever, however small the amount of blood is, she becomes tummy. So obviously, you're saying that there's a shear here of that's bechasimis pihama. Obviously, you're saying that it's a tumma of maga. But then, as the Gemara, if that's the case, then a zav. That's a male who has a tumma of ziva. There's the female version, there's the male version. It's also an emission that comes out of his male member, but that's different than that of semen. So if he becomes a zav, then he stops having that emission. So he has to have what's called a shibin nikim. He has to count 7 clean days, zayin yimei svira, to make sure he doesn't have any other emission. But then, during that time that he stopped, he saw keri, asked the Gemara, which means he had a seminal emission, al yister b'ziva. That should not deconstruct the whole counting of his 7 clean days. Just like if a person that had ziva and he was in the middle of a shivin nekiyim and he touches the sheretz, that doesn't stop his whole shivin nekiyim. It doesn't interrupt his counting of the ziva. Yeah, it becomes tummy, but that's not relevant to his nekiyim of the re'iyah of ziva. And here you're saying that the keri is not a re'iyah, it's just like coming in contact with something that's tummy, like coming in contact with a sheretz. Here he's coming in contact with his seed that's coming out of his male member. But if that's the case, Allah matanya, why do we learn the b'raisa that quotes the pasuk of Yikra that says, Zayis teres hazav, this is the law of the zav, v'ashatetzim in the shech v'zera, and the man that comes out of him a seminal emission, where the pasuk is equating shech v'zera, which is one type of liquid that comes out of the male member, to ziva, which is a different type of a liquid that comes out of the male member. What's it coming to teach? Ma ziva seisera is just like ziva. It destroys the counting of the 7 clean days, like the pasuk says, v'safra la, that she counts, v'achar titar, and afterwards that they become tar, which means say, after everything's said and done, you have to have the 7 clean days. You can't have anything else interrupting. You can't have a tumma in middle of the 7 clean days. Avshech v'zera, namaseisa, says the braisa, that's what the pasuk is equating, so too, a seminal mission is going to be seisra. But why? If it's a re'iyah, we understand why you didn't have 7 clean days. But if it's just touching something that's tummy, if someone touches a sheretz during a Shiva Nikim, that won't take away the whole Shiva Nikim. Obviously, you see that it's a re'iyah, not like the Rav Huna is saying that it requires a measurement because of Tumas Maga. So Malaysi said to him, Stira, you're asking me from the halacha of the fact that if it takes away from the Shiva Nikim? High in the time of the say, so the reason why it demolishes the Shiva Nikim is Lefishi'i Efshalah, it's because it's not possible for someone who's seeing a seminal emission that's coming from the Zav, but loy tzichtzuchi Ziva, without having droplets of the liquid of Ziva. So it's actually, it's the little bit of Ziva that's in that Shech Vezera that's being Seiser. You're right. Shech Vezera itself wouldn't be Seiser, because it's just touching, it's a Tumah Maga, just like touching a Sheretz. So why are we saying, as we're saying from the Pasuk, that's being Seiser? That's simply because in that Shech Vezera has some Ziva. So then the Gemara says, if that's the case, Tistikol Zayin. Then the Stira, the taking apart the Sheva Nikim, destroying that counting, should be for all 7 days. Allah Matanya, why do we learn the Braisa that quotes the same Pasuk? Says, Zayis Teres Azav V'Goymer, it equates being Azav to Shech V'Zera. Says the Braisa, like we said before, Ma Ziva Seisera, it's just like seeing a Ziva during the Sheva Nikim says you have to start over the Sheva Nikim. Av Shech V'Zera Seisera, so too, the seminal mission is also demolishes. Now, but says the Braisa further, Ima Ziba Seiseres Kol Zayin, but then you would think just like if, let's say, on day 7 of the clean days, the man sees Zivam, then it's Seiser, it undoes all the days that he counted, all 7 days, and he has to start all over. Avshech Vazera Nama Seiser Kol Zayin, you would think that, yeah, same thing would apply to seminal emission, that it's being Seiser, it would be Seiser all 7 days. So the Pasuk ends over there, it says, Latamava, to become tummy through it, which is telling us that Ein Lecha Ba Ela Masha Amar Ba. Each one has only regarding the Tumma that itself has. Yeah, Ziva, that becomes Tumma for 7 days, it'll be Seisa for 7 days. But B'Shech V'Zera, regarding the laws of Tumma, when a man in general has a seminal emission, his Tumma is only for 1 day, so also its Stira is only going to be Seisera Siyam Echad, it's only going to be Seisa that 1 day, so if he sees on day 7, he's not going to have to count another 7 days to start all over, he's only going to have to count one more day. But why? You said that inside the Tzuchzuchi Ziva, the Ziva itself inside, should be Seisa 7 days. And Adam Alei said, Rav Huna Tim, no, Gzeres HaKasafi. It's a biblical decree that Ziva Gemura Deloy Arva Bashech Vazera, a bona fide Ziva that doesn't have any seminal mission mixed in. It's just purely Ziva. That the Torah tells us is Seisera, it's called Sheva, that undoes the whole 7 days. Tzichtzuche Ziva, the Arva Bashech Vazera, when there's just droplets of Ziva that are mixed into the Shech Vazera, Loy Seisera, Selo Yemechad. That's what the Pasuk is telling us, that it's Latamava, whatever its Tumah is. We hear it has Shech Vazera, which would only be with Tumah 1 day. So yeah, it's going to be Seisera because it has Ziva inside of it, but that's what the Torah is telling you, that in that situation, the steer is only going to be for 1 day. And if it's not difficult, that yes, Shech Vazera itself is only a Tumah of Maga, therefore it does have a shear of Lachtam Pia Amma. And again, therefore, that's why he said his question doesn't even start, because even if you would say that the Tumah would come through a reed, it's not Negeya, it's not applicable, because anyway, it's not going to have the shear. And then if it's a Tumah of Maga, then why is it being Seiser? Because of the Ziba that's inside of it, and the Gzir Zakasa tells you that Gzir Zakasa is only for being Seiser 1 day and not all 7 days. A similar type of line of questioning that we said from this question and from the previous stuff, says the Gemara, Boimene Reb Yisrael Reb Chanin and Reb Elazar, says, going back to the laws of Nida, Dam Yavish Mahu. What's the law regarding dry blood? So for example, let's say it came out of her body a piece of dry blood. What's the halacha regarding becoming a nida? Says the Gemara, Ki yazav zayv dama am rachman. On the one hand, the Torah says that when there'll be a flow of blood, sounds like that it's moist, because the only thing that flows is something that's moist, not a clump. So adamei devdaivle. So the law of nidu would only be until it flows out of her. Lachin yavashlay, only if it's moist and not if it's dry. So therefore she wouldn't be a nidu. Maybe maybe this that it says that if blood will flow out of her, it's just saying the normative way of how it usually happens. But really, if it's dry, would be the same thing, and she would be nida. So Amalei Belaza said to him, we learned this in the Mishnah later on. The Mishnah says, the blood of a menstruating woman and the flesh of a dead person, it makes a person tummy, contaminates, whether if it's moist or if it's dry. So you see clearly that's the dam nidus, even if it's dry. So that Amalei, on that he said back to Rabbi Lazar, he says, no, lach v'nasa yavish leikam b'bayli. When it was moist and then became dry, that I didn't have a question, because this that it's saying that they're metame when they're dry is talking about when the blood fell from the woman moist onto a garment and dried up, and then when it was dry, then the blood touched something that was tahar. Which that's the same thing comparable to the other case of the dry flesh of a dead person, where a person was originally moist. There's no person that's originally a dead person that's dry. A person has moisture. It only subsequently becomes dry. So that's, yeah, the equivalent by dam nida. Of course I would understand when moist and then dried, that I didn't have a question that's going to be tamei, like you're showing me from that Mishnah. My question was, if it initially came out dry, is that going to be tamei as nida or not? So now he says, that we also learned in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, we learned in our previous Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Amapelis kimin klipa. If a woman miscarries, something comes out of her body, like pills, or kimin sara, like here, or kimin afa, like dust, or kimin yafchushno, like mosquitoes, if they're adoimin, if they're red, so tata lamaim, so you put it into water as a katintimid base. Imnimaychu, if it dissolves, then temeya, then it's going to be tame, because then obviously it's blood. But if it doesn't dissolve, then we can tell that it's obviously something else and it's not blood, and therefore it's not going to be metame. But one thing we see is that even though when it's appearing, it's dry like dust, we see that if it dissolves, we're going to say that it's dam, and it's going to be metame as needed. So we see that even if it's dry, initially, that it's going to be metame. So it says, okay, that answers the question. But if that's the case, then even if it doesn't dissolve, it should also be metame because it's coming out dry. Why do you need it to dissolve? You say the tum of need is even when it's dry. So Adam Rabbi says, no, kilo in your, it's not going to dissolve. That's a different, that's a qualitative problem, because berry b'fnei atzmei, that means to say it's its own creature and it's not blood. That's the test. If it dissolves, that tells us that it's blood. If it doesn't dissolve, that must be something else. It's a creature, it's something, but it's not blood, and therefore then she wouldn't be become tummy as neither. But you're right, it doesn't have to actually literally dissolve, that's just the test. Says the Gemara, then umika hai gabne, is really such a thing that a woman miscarries things like hairs and like peels, which are like these creatures? Says Gemara, and yes, but Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa, the Amar Blazer Reb Tzadik says, Shnai Maisim Helo Abba Mativin. There's these two stories that my father brought up from this place called Tivin, Liavna, when they came to Yavna, as follows. Maisim Beisha Shaisim Apelis Kim Klippers Adumas. It was an incident with a woman that she miscarried like these red peels, which were really, as the story illustrates, were really scabs from a wound, from an internal wound. They came and they asked, Father, what's the law? My father asked the sages, and the sages asked the doctors. They said to them, this woman actually has an internal wound in her intestines. That it's from there that is falling out these things that look like peels. So put into water, and then you'll be able to discern if it's, if it dissolves, then it's going to be tummy, then it's done. But if not, then again, like we said, there could be these things that just come out of the body, but they're not really the dam of the woman that's in need. There's another story where a woman miscarried like these red hairs. And they came, she asked father, and father asked the sages, the sages asked the doctors. They said to them, she has like a mole in her intestines, where it's normative to have like a birthmark, a mole that has hair in it. And it's from there that's falling out these red type of hairs. Put into water. If it dissolves, then it's tummy. If not, then again, like we said, these creatures, there's these elements inside the body that's coming out. But there is such an existence of such a thing. Now, Amar Shlakish, it qualifies this halacha, and he says, Ubepeshin. This that we tested out, if it's going to dissolve or not, is specifically in lukewarm water. Because if you check in cold water and it doesn't dissolve, we're not going to say that it's not damen to say that the woman's tarred that way. Because maybe if it would be lukewarm, then it would dissolve. And if it's dissolving, that's telling us that this is blood, which would be metamaha as dam nida. And Tana Malach is similar in the Braisa. Tat lamayim uba paishim. You put it into water, in lukewarm water. And that will tell us, again, if it dissolves, it must be blood. If it's not dissolving, there must be something else. And therefore, it's not tamay as nida. Pshim Malilah, I mean, he says, he says, different than the Tanakhama says, you put it into water and that's lukewarm. Says that they crush it with spittle on the fingernail. Says, meaning, what's the difference between them? What are they disagreeing about? Amravin, this is, the difference between them is by pressing it forcefully. That's a difference between them. Now, it's according to Tanakhama, if it dissolves by itself, like I said, in lukewarm water, then it's blood. But if it's dissolving because it's being pressed, that's not a sign that it's blood. You take any element and you put enough pressure, it could dissolve. So therefore, that's not an appropriate test. Whereas according to Reb Shimon, even if it dissolves through pressing, that's still telling us that if it's dissolving, it must be its blood. And if it was something else, it wouldn't. And therefore, he holds that even through pressing, that's going to be part of the test to see if it's blood or not. Now, continuing on this halacha, Mark says, Hasim Tanan. We're learning the Mishnah later on, the Nundal Mabez and Perek Dam Anida, that talks about a sheretz, a nevela, that those sources of tuma, dead animal, which is nevela, or sheretz is a dead one of the dead vermin, that it contaminates only if it's moist, but it doesn't contaminate, it doesn't give tuma if it's dry. Now, on that, the Mishnah says, but if you could soak it and it could return to its moisture that it originally was, then it's going to still be metame. On that, said the Mishnah, kama hishrias, and how long would you say to soak it, that if it returns to its moisture, to its vitality of moisture, that then it's going to be metame? It's bepeshin me'es le'es, and lukewarm water for a period of 24 hours. So on that, says the Gemara, hachamayin, our halacha regarding the testing of the blood of to see if it's dam nida or not, that we said you soak it in lukewarm water, what's the halacha? Mi pe'inam eis li'eis? Oilai, do you need to soak it for such a long period of time of 24 hours? Or not? As the Gemara explains. On the one hand, sheretz and nevela da'kush, you could say sheretz and nevela that are hard. So pe'inam eis li'eis, you need to soak it for 24 hours to let it get back its moisture to see if it's going to get, if it still has that ability to become like moist again. Avadam the rachachlai, but blood which is soft, then you don't need a soak it for 24 hours, rather either a day or a night. If it doesn't dissolve by that amount of time, then we're going to say, obviously, it's not the dam of nida, and it's going to be tar. I did malish, no, maybe no, it doesn't make a difference. There also, here in our halacha, that you have to soak in lukewarm water, would also be a requirement for 24 hours. So the Gemara Tegel, it stands not clear what the halacha is. The Gemara continues with the halacha of our previous Mishnah regarding Hamapelas. Hamapelas came in dogma. If a woman miscarries, meaning if something comes out of her vaginal canal, something that looks like fish. So the Mishnah said that it depends by itself. Everyone agrees that it's not a yaledis. There's not a creature that she's giving birth to. So you don't have that tumah. But if blood comes out with it, then she'll be tummy as needed. But if not, then she won't have tumah. Says the Gemara, V'leflik nami Rabbi Yehuda Baha. No one disagrees seemingly on this halacha. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda agree on this halacha too? And he should say, as he says in the beginning of the halacha of the Mishnah, which is the title of our parak, Hamapelas Chaticha, he should say, no, benkach benkach tmeya. Whether blood comes out with it or not, she should be tamei, because like we explained in the beginning of the this Mishnah, that the reasoning of the Rabbi Yehuda is because Eif shel psichas akev bleidam. The woman's uterus can't open up without any blood coming out. Just like he said, Bahama Pelas Chaticha, just a mass coming out. He says, even if there's no blood coming with it, she's going to be tummy. So here also, if it looks like fish, who cares what it is, she should also be tummy, because we know for sure blood did come out, we just might not have seen it. So Amar Shlakish, he says, you're right, but Machlek is Shinuya. The halacha, this Mishnah that we're quoting here, is contingent on Machlek, and it's not anonymous according to everyone. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, Rabbanah, and it's going like Rabbanah. Rabbi Yechonim, he says, no, fill time Rabbi Yehuda, could even say this halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Because Ad cannot come Rabbi Yehuda Hasim, where do we find the opening halacha of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda says that even if there's no accompanying blood, just with the mass, the woman's going to be tamei. Is elega bechaticha. It's only by when a piece comes out. And the reason for that is because the Ovid Dam de Karish Vavachaticha is because of the mass, is because blood congeals and it tends to come into a mass, into a clump. And that the reason is not because that we, as we explained the question, because, oh, if the woman's uterus opened up, there must have been blood over here, because it's not possible to open up without any blood. No, it's in the piece itself that he holds, and that is considered blood, as we had explained in the explaining of the beginning of the Mishnah. It's specifically, if it's from the four types, if this mass is from the four types of colors that are considered dam of nida, of a burial, but to be a creature, yeah, blood congeals into a mass, but to congeal into what looks like a creature, like a fish or something like that, that doesn't tend to be, and therefore, it's not a birth of anything, and neither is it going to be dam nida, because it wouldn't congeal into those features, and that's why Rebbe would agree in this halacha that the woman would be tar. But as the Gemara, this was Rabbi Yechon's interpretation. But according to that version of Rabbi Yechon, which we said earlier in this sugya, explaining the halacha of our Mishnah, that he says that be'ef shel psichas akev b'leidam kimifligi, that actually the machlokes in our Mishnah of the opening halacha, if a mass comes out without any blood, that the woman's going to be tummy or not, that Rabbi Yehuda says that she is going to be tummy, is because Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not possible for the opening of the woman without any blood. So then, lifli dam Yehuda b'ha. So then, Rabbi Yehuda should disagree. How could Rabbi Yehuda say that this halacha is even like Rabbi Yehuda? Says the Gemara, you're right. Man the masni ha'achlishna, the one who taught that version of Rabbi Yehuda, not like the we said from Shmuel, like we just gave in the answer that it's because of that it has those colors and it's because that itself is blood. The one who holds no, it's because of ef shel psichas akev b'leidam. Masni ha'achlishna, you're right. He learns a different version. That's not Rabbi Yechon disagrees with Rish Lakish that we just taught. No, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, they both say that you're right, but Machlekes Shinuya, this halacha of being Mapelis Kamin Dogim is contingent on Machlekes, Rabbani, and it's like Rabban, because Rabbi Yehuda actually would disagree, and he would say that yes, there must have been some accompanying blood, because it's not possible for a woman's lower region to open up without any blood, and if there was blood, and therefore you're right, he would hold that she's Tamim. The Mishnah continued, Hamapelis Kamin Behema V'chulu. However, if a woman miscarries something that looks like an animal, a wild animal, like a bird, so there's a machlekes in the Mishnah, if she's going to be tummy or not, even without accompanying blood, simply because of a tumah of yolendus, of giving birth. Yeah, it doesn't look like a human being, but that would still be considered giving birth to a creature. Now, Amar Yehuda Meshmuel, he says, my time to Remeir, what's the reason of Remeir, who he's the one that says that she is going to have a tumah of yolendus, even though it doesn't look like a human being, Chacham say has to have like a tzura of a person. He holds, no, even behemah chayv aif, it's going to be tummy. Why? Says the Gemara, because it says the terminology of formation like a person, where it says Vayitzir Hashem lekim chayis asadav esayif, Hashem formed the wild animals of the field and the birds, and it says the same terminology by a human being. Vayitzir Hashem lekim asadam afrim an adama. So since it says by both of them the terminology of Yitzira, so we say, just like giving birth to a human being, so to giving birth to something that looks like a behemah chayayif would also be considered halacha of yoledes to become tummy, whereas Rabbanah don't have the gzeirah shav. But then the Gemara asks, but only if that's the case, the mapel is demus tanin. If a woman miscarries a form of something that looks like a large fish called a tanin, to hey imi tamei leida, the mother should have a tuma of childbirth. Why did the Mishnah say, as we just quoted, everyone agrees, if a woman miscarries something that looks like a fish, she's going to be tar, it's only behemah chayva oiv, but a tanin, which is a type of a fish, the woman should have tumas leida. It says the terminology of formation like a person, Shem, like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, v'yivra l'kim es hatanin hagadayim, Hashem created the large fish. So it says a terminology of creation there by the tanin too. Amri, they said, no, done in Yitzira mi Yitzira. You learn that Behema Chayva Oif, which says Yitzira, from Adam that says Yitzira. Vein done in Beria mi Yitzira, but you don't learn now the terminology by large fish that says Beria, although they both mean creation, but they're different words, and therefore you can't learn out from Adam to say that's Gambatum of Yoledis. George Shikamar asks, my nafkimina, what's the difference? Beria, Yitzira, Hatan de Bebe Shmol. With the Bryce and the Shiva Bishmol, which this concept is mentioned many times in Shas, that regarding the laws of Negoim, it says, Vishav HaKoyin uVaKoyin. The Koyin returns, the Koyin comes, which says the Bryce of the Shiva Bishmol, Zuhi Shiva Vazuhi Bia. This coming back is the same thing as this of coming. In other words, we learn the Gzeres Shava of the Lochas of coming back from that of coming, which is as if it would have said by both of them either the terminology of coming back or Bia of coming. Which teaches us the halacha, just like the halacha that it says by coming back, is that you have to scrape off and take off from the bricks of the house, etc., etc. So too, when it says over there, coming, you have to do the same halachas. So you see that coming back, coming, it's the same idea, even though it's different words here also, although it's bria, it's zira, same thing. You should be able to learn out the gzeres shava from the tanin. Why is everyone saying that by dag, based on what we're saying, is not going to have a tumah of leida? Void more of a the Gemara is Nigma Bria. Even if you want to say, okay, Bria, Tzira is different, as the Gemara elsewhere in Shas explains, that Yes, you could learn out Shiva and Bia, you could learn out Bria and Tzira if there was nothing more similar. But here you have Yetzira and Yetzira, therefore you're not going to learn Bria from Yetzira. But here you actually have that it says Bria by the Tanan, and it says the word Bria itself by the human being too. Because the Chassid says in the Pasuk, Vayivre Elikim es Adam Mitzalma, Hashem created the human being in his image. So therefore you should learn out the Bria of fish from the Bria of Adam. And therefore you should say by the Tanan also that it has Tumas Leda. Samadhi says it's not difficult. Why? Vayivra, this that it says by the human being, the terminology of Bria, of creation, is Lagufe. That you needed for itself, for the human being. Vayitzer lafnuye, this that it says also the word Yitzira by the human being, that's extra to learn out of Gzeira Shavah. So therefore, Vadanan, so therefore we learn out the Gzeira Shavah to the Chai and the Oif, where it says by them Yitzira, learning out what's similar from what's similar, Yitzira mi Yitzira, forming from forming. But the fact that it says Bria by Adam, that you needed to say, to tell you the creation of the human being. And there was not extra to learn Gzeir Shavah to the Tanna. Kushigmar says, Adrab, I can tell you to the contrary. Say Vayitzla Gufe. Say that the word Yitzira you needed to say regarding the formation of the human being. And Vayivra Lafnui. Why do you say it again, Bria? That's the extra one. And therefore, Vadan and Bria, Mibria, you should learn out the Tanan, the large fish, from the human being. And say that's what you're learning out, and not Be'ehim Achai Ba'if. Kushigmar says, Eli, you're right. No, the answer is as follows. Vayitzir mufna mishnei tzedadim. The terminology of Yitzira is superfluous on both sides. Meaning, mufna gabi adam, it's extra by the human being, because ultimately it says vayivra by the human being too, so you didn't have to say vayitzir. Umufna gabi behema, and it's also superfluous by the animal, as the Gemara is going to explain why it wasn't necessary. So since it's superfluous on both sides, so you could learn out the gzer shava one from the other. Whereas Vayivra Gabi Adam Mufna, even if you're going to say that the terminology of Bria by the human being's creation is superfluous, because you're right, you already says Vayitzer Gabi Taninim Ena Mufna, but by the large fish, it's not extra, because there is no other pasuk regarding the large fish talking about its creation. That pasuk is telling us regarding its creation itself, not as an extra to learn the Gzeira Shavim Adam, and therefore again, that's why everyone agrees in Ramei that you need to learn out the large fish to say that it has the same tum of Yiledes as we say by Behema Chai Be'ev, which we're learning from Adam. Rosh Gemara asks, my Mufnega Behema, why are you saying that the terminology of the creation by Yitzira by Behema is superfluous, and therefore it's extra to learn like Zerushah from Adam? Ilema Medechsev, if you're going to say, because the Pasuk says, V'yasal Kim Es Chayas Ha'aretz, it says already that God made the wild animals a land. So it already talks about the making, the creation. Uksiv, and then it's extra when it says Vayitzah Hashem Lekim An Adama Kol Chayes Asada. So why does it have to say Yitzir? It already says Asira, and that's why he's saying it's superfluous. But then that's the Gemara. Then Gabi Tana Nameh Mufna. Then you have the question back again. By the large fish, it also has the pasuk being superfluous, because the Ksiv, it says in that same pasuk where it says Vayas Eves Kol Remes Adama, that he made in all the creatures of the earth, it says Ves Kol Remes Adama, meaning besides the fact that it says in that pasuk Vayas that he made all the Chayes Ha'aretz, it also says that he made all the creatures that crawl on the earth, which includes all types of crawling creatures, including the fish that crawl. Uksiv, this is in the pasuk, but Yivrelikim Esatinin Magadayim, Hashem made a large fish. So there, then it's also superfluous. And we're back to the question. So why is it any better, Behem Chai Ba'ayv, than the Tanina? Says the Gemara, no, because Remes Tachsev Hasam, in the pasuk that it says regarding Vayas, that it says the creepy, crawly creatures, is the Avashahu. It's those that crawl on the ground. And it does not include Taninim. And therefore the pasuk that says Vayivra by Taninim is not superfluous. It has to tell you regarding the creation of the Taninim, and therefore it's not Laf Nuye, and therefore you're learning out only Behema Chayba Oifam Adam and not fish. But the Gemara asks, but Amay Nafkemin be Mufna Mitzarech leMufna Mishnei Tzedadim. What's the difference between if it's superfluous on one side or on both sides? You're telling me that, oh, we're going to learn out specifically only Behema Chayba Oif, which it says Yitzira by them and it says Yitzira by Adam, and both are superfluous, instead of learning out the Tanin, which it's only superfluous on one side, by Adam and not by the Tan. What's the difference? It's just still the Bria, the terminology by Adam is still extra. Maybe you should learn out Tanin from Adam, even if it's not extra on both sides. That extra one word should tell you the Gzeir Shav. What's the difference if it's extra on one side or both sides? It says Gemara, Nafkimin, the difference is as follows. Because the Amr B'Yud Mishmul, and the Gersai say to take out the words Mishum or Bishmal, is that kol gzeirah shava she'ein mufna kol ikar. If you have a gzeirah shava, which means to say that you have the same word, which that's what the gzeirah shava is, same word in two different contexts, if the word is not superfluous, it's intrinsic for the context itself, so then ein lemeidin heimenu, you can't learn that gzeirah shava mit at all, even if there's no questions, no problems with the gzeirah shava. It doesn't make a difference, you can't learn it out. There's nothing telling us to learn that one from the other just because it has the same words. It has to be superfluous on some level. Now, muf the mitzad echad, if it's extra on one side, meaning one of the contexts, the word seems to be unnecessary. So then, l'Rabbi Shmuel, l'meidin ve'imashivin. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you could learn that the gezeirah shava, and moreover, even if you have a question that seems to be a flaw in that gezeirah shava, you don't ask the question. It doesn't make a difference. The Torah is telling the extra words specifically tell you learn not that halach. L'Rabbanan, they disagree. They say, yes, l'meidin, you could learn out from the gezeirah shava if there's no pircha, there's no questions on the gezeirah shava. But if there is what to ask and then to say, hey, the context seems to be different, then the meshivin, then you could respond and ask and refute the gezeirah shava that way. Which this machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbanan is Shmuel, who is teaching this tradition from his teacher, which this is the place from this teaching. It's not a Mishnah or a Braisa. It's orally this tradition of this machlekes Tanoim. Now, mufn mishnei tzedadin, if the word is extra and seemingly superfluous on both sides, divrei hakol made dmei meshivin, the everyone holds, you learn it out and you don't refute. So therefore over here, that's what we're saying. We can learn that pei mechai ba'oif, which although, as we're going to explain, there seems to be a pircha on this gezeirah shava, but if it's extra on both sides, that we don't refute. Whereas when it's on one side, so then you would, and therefore that's why you don't learn the tana. But then says the Gemara, but Rabbi Shmuel, who we just quoted, according to him, what's the difference if it's open on one side or open on both sides? He holds, even if it's just superfluous on one side, like in this case of Tana from Adam, where by Adam it's extra, and by Tana it's not, he holds, even then it's Lamed Vei Meshivin. So what's the difference? Says the Gemara, that's the nafkamina, that's the difference. What is the Hecha de Ikam Mufna Mitzad Echad? Where you have a situation where it's superfluous, if you want to Gezeirah Shava only on one side, Mufna Mishnei Tzad, and then you have another option. Where there that limud, which is exactly what we're discussing over here, by behemah chai ba'if, it's superfluous on both sides. Shafkin and mufti mitzarecha, you leave the limud that would be telling you if for the teaching that's on the context that you only have superfluous on one side. As a continuing type of chavikim laman aleph, ve'afin and mufna mishneid stodden. And instead, you learn out the one that's superfluous on both sides. Says the Gemara, lahochi afni rechman lebehemah mishneid stodden. That's why the Torah made it superfluous for the behemah chai ba'if on both sides, which Rashi has explained as going like drabbanan. Which therefore that takes out, they explain for Girsas Rashi the words kihechi, that you don't learn out if it's superfluous only from one side, because there is a refutation. And there is what to refute, as the Gemara is going to explain later on, which we'll quote on the next stuff, because how can you learn out from a human being, whether it be for Behemachai Ba'if or Tanan, where a human being could become tummy when he's still alive? In contrast, these creatures, they don't become tummy when they're alive. Therefore, there's a refutation. Therefore, that's the difference that we're saying. That's why it says, Mufna Mishneid Stadin, in contrast to Mufna Mitzad Echad, because Mufna Mitzad Echad, that you wouldn't be able to learn, because there's a refutation, and you can't learn. And therefore, Tana doesn't learn. Whereas, since Mufna Mishneid Stadin, that's what the Rabban hold, that, yeah, then you lemaid Meshivin, and therefore we learn Abhim Mechai Ba'if, because the word Yitzir is superfluous by both. And therefore that tells us that it's going to have the same halacha of the Mahapelis Be'emechai Ba'ayv, according to Remeir, who that it's going to tell you this halacha that's going to have a tumma of Leda of childbirth.